I love my children with everything that is within me, and they know it. I show it to them. I tell them. You know, it's not enough to tell somebody that you love them. You have to show them that you love them. But the grasp that a mother has, or any parent, or let me say in this day and age, a grandparent has, is teaching the little ones about the Lord and where they came from and who created them, raising them up in the admonition of the Lord, to love the Lord, to know the Lord, to worship Him, to understand Him, so that when they grow up, they can raise godly offspring as well. See, that was God's plan to begin with, that we would raise godly children to know Him and to love Him and to worship Him and then spend all of eternity with Him. So my hat's off to every mother in this room, every grandmother, every aunt. My hat's off to you. Praise God for you. And yes, you are mighty. You are mighty. But you are mighty in the Lord. You're only mighty in the Lord. God gives us strength. God makes us mighty. God helps us to be who we're supposed to be. Amen? So if you would, I'd like to have all the moms to come up, and the grandmothers as well, because they're moms too. Any mom, if you're a visitor, or if you're a member of the church, come and stand by the altar here. And by the way, in case the men didn't know this, today, of course, is the day where, you know, you're supposed to do all the laundry. You're supposed to do all the cooking, okay? You're supposed to change all the diapers. Take care of everything that a mom does, right? Because your day is coming soon. I mean, it's what, June? Got a month away, and we'll see what happens then. But I'd like to have some help. I need some of the teens in the back, please. Caroline, Danielle, Caleb, Jake, the Cannon, Ron, and Andrew, and yep. Forgive me if I forget the names. Say, Rebecca, right? We have a little gift here for you from the church, and there's also a sweet goodie in the bottom of the bag, so just be very careful how you hand those out. These are garden flags, and I don't know of any woman that would not like a garden flag. And if you don't like your cupcake, maybe your husband will eat it. The men are like, oh yeah. I was going to read Proverbs 31 to you, but I said, you know, when I look at Proverbs 31 and when I hear Proverbs 31, I sink. I didn't want anybody else sinking today because, you know, when you read that portion of Scripture, you think, I do not measure up to that. But guess what? We all work to measure up to that, don't we? That's our goal. So I would like, everyone received a gift? Ms. Johnson, did you get a gift? Okay. Thanks, guys and gals, for helping me out. I'm going to put Ron on the spot. I hate to put people on the spot. But Ron, I would like for you, if you would, come up and say a prayer over our moms this morning. I'm sorry, Ron.
All right. Wow, what a beautiful sight. Wish I could be with my own mom today. But it's good to be with all of these moms, all right? T-Vote listening, if you're out there, would you, would you just stand with me, please? And let's just stretch our hands this way. Some of these moms have gone through a phase of life where ability to influence children and grandchildren is not as great as it once was. And there are some of these moms who are in the heat of it right now. Mm-hmm. So let's just pray together and thank God. Thank God for these moms and their influence and their struggle and the way that they've impacted our lives. And let's ask God to bless them as they continue to influence this and the next generation. Let's do that together. God, we're thankful. We are thankful indeed, Lord, for our own mothers, but we're thankful that you, in your great wisdom, have instituted this whole idea of the family in the beginning. Lord, we thank you that in our fathers we see certain things of you, but in our moms, in our mothers, we see the great care and the great nurture that you have for us. And Lord, we thank you and we bless you for these moms that stand before us today. They are representative of mothers across this city and state and nation and world. But Lord, we're thankful for these moms today. We pray that those that have already been through their time of great influence on others, that they would be reaping the rewards of all of the righteousness that they've sown. And Lord, for these moms that are now raising children or grandchildren, Lord, we pray you continue to give them wisdom, Lord, and continue to give them understanding and patience and grace and insight and all the things that are necessary to raise godly children and grandchildren. Lord, we bless them today. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I know I heard. Thank you. You all may be seated. I see the men eyeballing the cupcakes that are left over. They were not bought at a store, by the way. We did make those yesterday. Well, I wanted just to prepare you for today. I did not come to you with a message, a Mother's Day message. I came to you with a message that the Lord laid upon my heart. I have been studying, and I tell you, you get to a point to where, man, God, you can keep on and on and on and on and on, and it's endless with what God will give you and feed your spirit. But the Word of God, it's like water to my soul. I could not live without the Word of God. I thank him for it, and I thank him for this opportunity today to be here to share with you. Now, I'm nervous as a cat on a hot, hot tin roof, okay? I just want to let y'all know that right away. But someone told me once, when you look out into the crowd, just imagine them in their underwear. I don't know if I want to do that or not. Oh, goodness. God is good, isn't he? I thank God for the work that he's done in my life. I thank him for these worship songs that we sang today, because every last one of them speaks something to me. I know what God has done in my life. I know what he's doing, and I thank him for what he has saved me from. I don't tell too many people my testimony, but I'll tell you this. I've been on one side of the world that you do not want to be on. And that's the side away from God. I've walked a life that many of you would be shocked to even know the things that I have done, but only God knows. I would be ashamed of some of the things that I have done, but praise God that he took away my shame. I don't have to worry about that shame any longer, because it's not going to come back to harm. It's not going to come back to get me anymore, because it's gone away. The scripture tells me that when he forgives me of my sin, they're gone as far as the east is from the west. You know what that means? That means east and west will never meet again. So my sin will never come back to haunt me again, because God has taken care of that sin. It was taken care of a long, long time ago. And I tell you, even while I was in my sin, even while I was running away from God, he was still knocking on my heart. And he was still coming after me. And he was still whispering to me, come to me, child, come to me. I got a better life for you. There's something better for you. Come to me. Let me show you. I would never in a million years have thought that I would have been here today standing before you preaching the word of God. This is a miracle. You're looking at a miracle. So praise God. I want you to look in your Bible today in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. I love the Old Testament. I'm an Old Testament person. I don't know about you, but the stories in the Old Testament, oh my goodness, when I begin to read them, woo, it's something about them. We're going to be looking at Jehoshaphat today. We're going to be in the entire chapter of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. I'll give you a little bit of background before we go there. Jehoshaphat reigned in Israel for 25 years, and he had made, in the preceding chapters, he had made a bad alliance with King Ahab. How many of you know who King Ahab was? He was the wickedest king ever. And he had made a bad alliance with this king, made some mistakes with him, went into war with him. And to make a long story short, the king, wicked King Ahab, was killed, but Jehoshaphat was not. However, he came close to death, and he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord had mercy upon him when he cried out to him, and he saved his life. And King Jehoshaphat came back to his city. And when he came back, he returned safely to his palace there in Jerusalem. He came back and he began to go out through the city, and he began to tear down the Asherah poles, these false idols that they would go and they would worship. And he would restore the worship of God. How many of you know we need to have that in America today? We need that in America today. We need a righteous leader. We know that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people the Word of God teaches us. So Jehoshaphat, he went and restored the worship of the Lord and tore down these Asherah poles. He appointed priests and he appointed justice or judges to bring forth justice in the land. And all is going well up until this point. Looking at verse 1, all is going well, and all of a sudden, bam, something happens, something out of the blue. How many of you know that you could be going along in life, things are going well, right? You're serving the Lord, God's blessing you, man, and you got good health, you got money in the bank, food in the cupboards and food on the table, good job, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it hits you. And you wonder, where did that come from? Or what did I do? Let's look at verse 1. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Midianites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea," and that is the Dead Sea. He said, "A vast army is coming against you, a huge army. These men are coming against you. The enemy is coming against you." How many of you know the enemy is against you? How many of you felt the enemy come against you this week? I tell you what, the enemy was against me head on this week. I was in the kitchen this week cooking and preparing and cleaning and doing the things that I needed to do, and the enemy was dogging my heels, reminding me of things that people had said to me or what people had done to me, and wanted to continue to remind me. But all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord brought His word to me and told me that all of these light and momentary afflictions are helping me. And they're going to be, when I see Jesus, they're going to all pass away. And it's going to outweigh everything I've ever been through and what anybody ever said to me. If you look at the bulletin this morning on the front page, that's what I was picturing right here. And the Lord gave me that song. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. And when He takes me by the hand and He leads me through the promised land, oh, what a day, what a glorious day that will be. What a glorious and awesome day that's going to be, folks. We have something to look forward to, don't we? Even though the enemy dogs us, hallelujah, we got God on our side. As the scripture goes on to tell us, He says, they came from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. Alarmed, one of your versions says, fearing or feared, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast. How many of you know what fear is? You ever dealt with fear? Fear is a crippling thing, let me tell you, it is. But Jehoshaphat, instead of running and hiding, tucking tail, putting his head in the sand, and wondering what's going to happen next, he called on God. He resolved to call on God. He inquired of the Lord, and he proclaims a fast for all of Judah. This includes the women, the men, the children, and all. How many of you like to fast? So the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Now Jehoshaphat, even though he feared, he set himself to seek God. Amen? And because he knew that who God was, he knew what God could do. How many of you know what God can do? How many of you know God? Is God your best friend? Has God ever brought you out of something? Then you can trust God. Amen? He knew who God was and what God had done for him. He knew who the Almighty was. And God tells us, as he tells his people, God says to seek him and he will be found. Call to him and he will deliver you. Listen to what Psalm 50 verse 15 tells us. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. How will you honor God by calling upon him? Well, for one, when you get in trouble and you get in a bad spot and you call upon God, God hears and God answers. And then you go and you tell somebody what God has done for you. You bring glory to God, don't you? And you bring honor to God, don't you? We need to tell people about what God has done for us. Don't hold it in. There's a world out here that does not know God and does not know the power of God and what God has done for you or done for me. We need to be a testimony, don't we? And speak of the things that God has done for us. Moving on. So the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nation. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? You see what he's doing here? He's reminding himself, and he's reminding God, and he's reminding the people of what God had promised them. God had given them the land that they were in as an inheritance. They knew it, and they reminded God of it. We need to remind God of his word, don't we? Not like he forgot it, but it helps us. When we look at God's word, we can pray his word back to him, and the scripture teaches us that he's watching over his word to see that it is performed. Jeremiah 1 and 12. And when you pray God's word back to him, you are in essence praying the mind of God, the will of God. You're praying what God wants you to pray. You're praying the way God wants you to pray. And when you know you're praying the way God wants you to pray, God hears and he answers, and you have that confidence and you can go on in your life. So he says, O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and give it to them forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us, and you will save us. He was very confident in God. We can be confident in God. We can be confident in God. When has God ever failed you? God has never failed you, has he? He will never fail you. The enemy of your soul would love to come against you and bring all kinds of doubts and fears to you and get you to doubt the word of God. But if you will be rooted and established in his word and pray that word back to him and get that in you, you will have confidence in God. I promise you. But now, verse 10. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So They turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Okay, God had already given them that inheritance. He knew that. Now, let me bring this home. God has given you an inheritance. You know where your inheritance is? It's in heaven. And one of these days you're going to receive that inheritance. But I'm going to tell you something. The enemy of your soul wants to keep you from receiving that inheritance. Every last one of us in this room and in this entire world, God has an inheritance for. But you got to go and get it. You got to take a step toward God. You have got to accept God's way and do it His way. We cannot come to God on our own terms. We must come to Him on His terms. And it's through His Son, Jesus Christ. That inheritance in heaven is kept for you by God. It's not going to spoil. It's not going to fade. There is no rust there. It's kept under the watchful eye of your heavenly Father. Again, but your enemy wants to take it from you, as the enemy wanted to come and take this land away from the people that God had given to them, their inheritance. The enemy came and wanted to take it away from them. You got to say, no, you cannot have this. God gave it to me. I'm not going to let you have it. Sometimes the enemy comes and he takes it, and you don't even know he's taking it. But that's when you got to turn around and say, give it back. It belongs to me. God gave it to me, and I'm taking it back. Young people, you guys are graduating. You guys are going out into the world. God has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and to give you future. There's an enemy, though, that wants to come and take your inheritance from you. I beg you with everything that is within me, stay close to God, for the days are evil. These days that we live in now, you guys are seeing things that, I mean, the Word of God is coming to life before our very eyes. I taught my kids many years ago about the things that were going to be happening upon this earth, and I'm seeing them happen today. And I told them to stick close to God. Don't ever deny the Lord. If someone comes to you, holds a gun to your head, and says, deny the Lord or die, you die. Because the day that you die and the moment that you die, you're in heaven. There is no in between. You're either heaven or hell. And if you deny the Lord, you're in hell, because He said, if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. So I beg of you to stick close to God. Stay in the Word of God, because there is a real enemy who wants to take away your inheritance. He wants to mess up your life so that you do not serve the purpose that God has for you. This goes for all of us. But our young people need to know this, and they need to be rooted in the Word of God and stand firm in the Lord and seek Him. Seek Him in your hour of trial. Seek Him in your battles. Listen, God didn't promise us a life of ease. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have sorrows. The Christian life is not easy. I've been serving the Lord since October of 1998. It is not easy. But I tell you what, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I would not. I could not. How could I deny such love and such mercy? Amen. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Don't listen to your friends. Don't listen to the world. Listen to the Word of God. We need to get back to the Word of God. You see, we got too many books in the world today. But there's the main book called the Word of God that we need to be having our face in, right? You know, we're on Facebook a lot. I'm on Facebook a lot. And I see a lot of things that go on Facebook, but this is the book I need to keep my face in right here, so that I can march on in victory, because my enemy is trying to steal my inheritance. And I cannot let him do that. Verse 12, he says, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, O Lord, but our eyes are upon you. This church went through something a while ago, and I read this scripture, and the Lord said, and the Lord was speaking to me through this message. and we had to fast and we had to pray because we did not know what to do. But our eyes was on you, Lord. And you know what? God revealed and God delivered and God has saved. And God is going to continue to do that. And this church is going to move forward. We may not have a pastor right now, but we have the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need. He is our shepherd. As he was the shepherd of Israel, he is our shepherd. And he is here with us. The word teaches us that where two or three are gathered in his name, that he is among us. And I know that he's here today. I know he is. Verse 13. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Okay, can you just picture that? They're waiting on God. They're waiting on God. When you pray, you need to wait. You need to wait on God. Give God time to work. Because sometimes it doesn't just happen like that. I love it when it happens like that. You pray and God answers right away. But there are times when you have got to wait on the Lord. So as they stood and they waited on the Lord, get this, verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. Okay, so they've done prayed to the Lord. They've asked the Lord to help them. They stand before the Lord and wait upon an answer here. And now the Spirit of the Lord comes upon his man. And he says, verse 15, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord God says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Do not be afraid, he says, or discouraged because this battle is not yours. It's God's battle. He already knows about it. He was already there. I want to park here for just a moment and speak to you a little bit about your battles and your trials. What battle are you facing today? What trials are in your life today? What's going on? Are you asking God why? I've asked God why before. Why am I going through this? What is the purpose and what is the reason behind this? You see, God has a purpose for every battle that you and I face. And every trial that we go through, every trial that we find ourselves in, there is a purpose to it, guys. He's the potter. We're the clay. And these things that we go through are for our benefit, are for our good, and it's for God's glory. Listen at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Amen. These things that you and I go through, it's going to make heaven even sweeter. Because when we look at the face of Jesus Christ, when I embrace him, all of them things are just going to fall to the wayside, and I'm not even going to remember them. It's going to be worth it. Amen? It will be worth it. Listen to what James tells us in James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything, not lacking a thing. So these battles and these trials that you and I go through, am I the only one that goes through them? Some of you sitting here today, you must be thinking, you have no idea what I'm going through. You have no idea what we're facing. I don't know what you're facing. Maybe you're facing a disease, or maybe you're facing your home to be taken away from you, or maybe you're facing a divorce. Or something has happened to your children, or something in your finances, or you're going to lose your job. God already knows about it. Let me just inform you of that. He already knows. God knows the beginning and the end. And if you are a child of God, God's got you. He's got your back. Because when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And when you go through them waters, they are not going to overcome you, because God is with you. You will not fail. You will not. These trials that we go through, they bring glory to God if we will be patient and obedient during these times. It will take the hat off of your back. But if you will wait upon God and be patient and be obedient to what the Lord tells you, you will come through. They will mature us in our walk with God, and they teach us about God and who God is and what the Lord is wanting to reveal to us about Himself. You see, there's a purpose behind our trials and our things that we go through. Our faith will grow in the Lord. You know that song that we sing, I Want to Know You? You know that song, I Want to Know You More? Be careful for what you sing and what you ask the Lord for. Because I'm going to tell you something. To know God, you got to have experiences. You need to experience God. And that sometimes we have to experience trials and battles to get to know who God is and to have our faith built in Him and in His Word. Oh, yes, God, you did say that. So, your faith is growing a little bit. So don't smug these trials and these battles that come to you. Embrace them if you can. Try to get your mind wrapped around what God is doing. Get your mind off of the trial and get your mind off of the battle and think about God. Sing praises to God during them trials. Get the Word of God in you so that when they do come, you'll have the Spirit of God welling up within you, giving you the Scripture that you need at that point in time. Amen. The Word of God is what we need. So we develop perseverance. We are also able to comfort others with how the Lord has comforted us. We can comfort others through that comfort that we have received ourselves. You go through something, and the next thing you know, maybe a couple weeks later, you meet somebody along the road or meet somebody in church, and they tell you they're going through this and that, and you're like, I just come through that. But let me tell you what God did for me. And if God did it for me, He'll do it for you. God is good, and He wants to see. He's on your side. He wants to see you move forward. He wants you to go in the joy of the Lord. He's for you. He's not against you. Job was a man who loved God. He feared God. And God allowed the troubles to come to his life. You know the story of Job. Everything eventually was taken away from him. Friends told him to curse God and die. His wife told him, curse God and die. Job wouldn't do it. In the end, after all of that, he lost his children. He lost his animals. He lost everything. The man was rich, and he lost it all. But God restored it all in the end, after he got through, because the enemy of his soul wanted to kill Job, but God would not allow it to happen. You see, he had to come before God, and he had to ask God, could he touch Job? He had to ask God. So I want you to understand something. Every trial and every battle that you face has got to come through God. God already knows about it. He already knows about it. And God will bless you. Listen to what Romans 8:28 says. Never forget this, that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. All things, guys, all things. It will work for your good and God's purposes in your life. Let me move on. Verse 16, tomorrow marched down against them after he said, this battle is not yours. Marched down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. He's told them this once before. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with you. Go out and face them. They had to be obedient to what God was saying, and they had to be confident that what God said he was going to do, he was going to do it. And Jehoshaphat was confident in what God had said and what God was going to do. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korathites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with very loud voice. I can just hear them now. Once they got that good news, God, you're going to defeat them. We don't have to fight this battle. I can hear them now. Can you hear such a loud roar? Oh, my goodness, I can hear that loud roar. Praising God. Praising the God of Israel, the one they knew, the one that had brought them out of Egypt, the one that had called them his very own treasured possession, his people. You are his treasured possession. You are his people. And God is for you. Stand firm. Stand still. Wait on God. Be obedient and be confident in God. When you're going through the trials and the battles of life, there's always an end to a battle. Verse 20, early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me. Okay, here's this God-fearing leader. He believed God. He said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. How much plainer can it get? After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. They went before him. They went before the army and they were singing, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. You see, God inhabits the praises of people. When you praise, God comes down. When you raise them hands, he lifts the bands. He breaks those bands. You praise, the enemy has to leave. Get a song on in your heart and a praise upon your lips. Keep it there if you can. Sometimes my children and my husband tell me, Lisa, would you shut up? Would you stop singing? Would you turn that music off? I can't, because I know what God has done for me. I cannot stop praising God for who he is. He's an awesome God, and I know he's got my back no matter what I'm going through. So God kept his word. He was going to keep his word, and they had to trust and obey God. Listen to what Numbers 23 and 19 says. I love this portion of scripture. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act, and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I stand on that word a lot of times. When I'm praying the word back to God, when I'm going through something or when I need something, I stand on that word right there. God, this is what you said. Are you a man that you should lie? No, you're not. I know, God, who you are. I know what you're going to do. I am confident that you're going to bring us through this. I'm confident, God. God kept his word. As always, let's look down a little further. Verse 22, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. You see what's going on here? They're turning up on each other. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Oh, if God be for you, who can be against you? Oh, goodness. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, can y'all just see this? I want y'all to picture this. They saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. It was not by might nor by power, but it was by my spirit, saith the Lord. God done told him what he was going to do, and God kept his word. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it all. Let me just say this. When we come to God and do things His way, He will do immeasurably more than what we can ask or imagine. And God has immeasurably more than what you could ever think or imagine in heaven waiting on you. Amen. They were obedient. They listened to what God's man had said. They did what God had told them to do. They stood still, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to stand. When we have done all, stand. We are to stand and to be strong in the might and the power of God. And God blessed them. He gave them so much plunder that it took 3 days. Listen, there's always a blessing when we do things God's way. Always. And when you're in a battle, understand that there's a blessing on the other side. And Christ is waiting there for you. But Christ is also there with you in it. And He's also watching over you as you go through that thing. And He's praying for you. He's praying that your faith would not fail in Him. Because He wants to see you succeed. He loves you. Again, I ask, what enemies are you facing today? What trials and what battles are you facing? What battle have you found yourself in? Remember this, there is always an end to every battle and to every trial. And that God is with you, even though you walk through the fire again, you shall not be burned. You are a child of God. Remember that. I am a child of God, and I am mighty in the Lord. And that just because you are in a trial, God has allowed it for a reason. He's allowed this thing to come to you for some reason. You might, you know, people watch us in our lives every day, and they see us going through things. And I remember once working at McDonald's. We was putting Jacob through a private school, and this girl came up to me one day as I come in, and she said, "Lisa, you're always laughing, and you're always so happy. What is going on? Do you ever have a bad day?" I just turned around, looked at her. I said, "Listen, I said, yes, I do, but it's Jesus and me." And I began to tell her about what God has done for me, and you know, she told me, she said, "My daddy's a preacher," and she said, "He's been trying to tell me that for a long time." I said, "Well, honey, God's trying to tell you something." I said, "Just because I look like I'm smiling and having a good time doesn't mean that my life is like that all the time." I said, "But I know who God is, and God's going to get me through that. And whatever I'm going through, God's for me." Rest assured then that the same God who delivered these people from this vast army that was coming against this small nation here, God would be the same for you. He will deliver you. He will deliver you. And Hebrews 13 and 8 says this, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. If God did it then, He's going to do it now. His word teaches us that. I want to read something to you in Psalm chapter 27. This is about David. David had many battles, as we already know. He said this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3. "The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident." David went through so much, guys. He ran from Saul. He was confident in God, though. Remember the battles that he had with Saul? Saul was trying to kill him. How about Goliath, when he went out to face Goliath? This giant of a man who had come against the armies of Israel was defying them. And David said, "Let me go. Let me go. I'll go to..." He couldn't even put the armor on to go and fight this Goliath, this big giant, this small dude. Going to go over here and fight this giant. But you know what? This small dude had God on his side. And this giant over here did not have God on his side. He defied God. And David said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. He said, you come to me with javelin and spear. But David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Three little stones. And one killed him. The giant fell face down as though he was bowing before God. I was there in that place. In Israel, I picked up a rock from the brook where David had picked his rock up and he killed the giant with, because you see, he was confident in his God. Are you confident in God? Can you be confident in God? Yes, you can. Each battle that David went through, gosh, David went through so much. He went through so much before he was even the king. Each battle that David went through was preparing him for his future. Young people, each battle that you go through is preparing you for your preparing you and readying you. Keep your eye on him. Do not look to the left, but seek God and keep your eye and your focus on him. God is about to do something, and God is going to teach you something about himself. He's going to carry you through. Amen. In closing, I want to read this scripture to you from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. As God was with the armies of Israel, he will be with you and he will fight the battles for you. In verse 29, it says, the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. You may be going through a long and hard battle, but listen, there's an end to that battle. There will come peace. Weeping lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Put your trust and your confidence in God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for your word and your goodness to us, your power and your love. Lord, just I want to thank you for who you are, that we can be confident in you and place our trust in you no matter what we're going through. You have told us over and over again in your word not to be discouraged, not to fear, Lord, that you are with us always and you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. But at times, God, we feel as though you have left us. We feel as though you have forsaken us, Lord, even in our hour of trial that is so bad. But Lord, we have never faced what you had faced. That trial, that great trial that you faced in the Garden of Gethsemane, when you sweat those drops of blood, Jesus, when you knew what was coming, and yet you set your face like flint toward Jerusalem to go and do the will of the Father, so that we might be saved. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. Father, thank you that you are with us wherever we go and whatever we do. With everybody's head and bowed and their eyes are closed, the Spirit of the Lord wants to minister to you today. If there's something that you are going through, you don't think you're going to make it, God already knows about it. You see, he's the omnipotent and the omniscient and the omnipresent God. He knows all, he sees all, and he's everywhere. He's present with you. He loves you. And this battle is not to punish you, but it's to teach you. It's to show you something about himself. It's to reveal himself to you. You will come out stronger on the end, on the other side. if you will just walk in obedience to the Lord and listen to Him and wait upon Him and not get in a hurry. If you are here today and you need prayer and you want someone to pray for you, these altars are open for you. And I am sure that there will be people who will come behind you and pray for you. There's another invitation I'd like to give to you today. If you are here and you do not know the Lord, I urge you with all of my heart to give your heart to Him. You see, because life is useless without the Lord. It's nothing without the Lord. See, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He wants to use you. With God, there's joy, there's hope, there's peace, no matter what you're going through. God doesn't want to see you suffer. That's not God. God loves you. His Son suffered for you. And the things that you go through, and the battles and the valleys that you find yourself in, a lot of times we get in because of our own self-will. Sometimes God allows us to get to the bottom so that we can look up and say, I need you, Jesus. I cannot do it without you. If there is someone here today, you want to give your heart to the Lord, and you want to do things His way, I ask you to slip up your hand. You're not doing it for me. You're doing it for the Lord. Let God see that hand and let God see that heart. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that's embarrassing. I'm asking you to give your heart to the Lord. He loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. He sent His Son to die for you. And for everything that you've ever done, it can be wiped away in a moment, just like that. Is there anyone here that would say yes to the Lord? Yes, Lord. Is there anyone here that needs prayer, special prayer, for something that they may be going through? Father, You know all hearts. I have given Your word the way You have given it to me today, Father. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your ministering spirit. I thank You for this day, God. Father, I ask You to minister to each and every one as they go forth to their homes. Lord, as they go and visit their families and get together and have a fun time, Lord, I ask You to minister to them, use them, bless them, and keep them, and make Your face to shine upon them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.
Oh,